Well, good morning. Once again, it is so good to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 100. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Today we're talking about we were meant to praise. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we do praise You, because that's what You created us for. And God, today we're so thankful for this scripture that we read, and we ask, Lord, that we will apply it to our hearts and lives, that we will remember these words, that we will repeat them, Heavenly Father. God, as I preach this message, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and let nothing come from my flesh or my own thoughts. And God, we give You the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This sermon came to my mind as so many thoughts of my mom just flooded my heart and my mind over these last couple, it's hard to believe it's coming up on 2 weeks that she's been gone. But one thing my mom loved to do was my mom loved to praise. And she would walk around the house when I was growing up, and she would sing. Sometimes I'd want to sleep in and she'd be downstairs singing at the top of her lungs. And then some mornings I'd go in, I wish she'd be a little quiet so I could just sleep. But you know, I, as a young man, I never realized the importance of what she was doing until as I got older and wiser. And when I came to Christ, I realized that what she had, she was giving back to the Lord in thanks and in praise by singing songs every day. And sometimes she would sing the same songs over and over and over. And I used to think, well, doesn't she get, you know, tired of singing the same ones all? But you know what? I find myself singing those exact same songs over and over as I'm driving or as I'm getting ready of a morning. And it's such a joy to know that when I'm praising God, and we praise God in so many different ways, it's not just singing. We praise God by our actions. We praise God when we're in our time of prayer, when we're ministering to others, when we give our offering in the offering plate. And whatever things we do for the Lord, we are actually offering praise to Him because we're thanking God. And we should never let a minute go in our lives that we live every day. We should never let a time go that we're not thanking God. We should always be in remembrance of what He's done for us. I've always said, if there's the most thing I'm thankful for in this life is the gift that Jesus gave on the cross, His life. He shed His blood, and I am so joyful for that, because that means by believing on Him, I don't have to face an eternity in hell. And when I think of my life and what it used to be and what it is now, I tell you what, I'd rather have what I've got now, because I have a relationship with Jesus, and that's the sweetest thing of my life. My wife is pretty sweet in my life for sure, but Jesus is the sweetest of all. He puts a song in my heart. He gives me gladness. He gives me a reason. People ask me, what is your purpose for living? And I just say, Jesus. And they go, well, but what else? And I said, Jesus. He's my purpose for living. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a purpose. I wouldn't have a reason for being in this pulpit today. You know, as I look back and I think, my goodness, it's been 34 years ago that I surrendered to the ministry to preach. And I am so thankful that I get to be in the pulpit every Sunday sharing God's Word with my Christian brothers and sisters. But some ways that we were meant to praise God is being a church that prays together. You know the importance of prayer, staying in communication and fellowship with God. It is ideal for us to pray daily to the Father, because we as a church, if we pray together, you heard the saying, a church that prays together stays together. And that is true. If you pray daily to God, if you seek the Lord, and if you seek His will, if we do that as a church, then God will open up for that church just exactly what His plan is for them. Now, God's main plan for the church is that we reach out and minister to those in need. A lot of times people in church will wonder, well, where do we find these folks? Well, if you pray and ask God, God will send you where He would have you to go. Or God will put people in your path that He wants you to minister to. I remember one night, many years ago, I was a chaperone for the Marion High School dances. I remember being a student and going to the high school dances. I was always thankful that the adults were there to chaperone our night, because they were there to make sure that we were safe, that we had a good time. And when I got to fulfill that role, I became a chaperone as a young man. And here I was, 22 years old, and one night I saw a young man outside of the youth center, and he seemed pretty aggravated. He was actually pretty mad. And I walked up to him and I started just talking to him. And I had no idea what the Lord had planned. And he started telling me, well, he was having girl troubles. That's kind of what his plight was. He said, well, this girl, she's made me mad. And he said, you know, sometimes I just don't understand life. And he started talking about the things going, and one thing led to another, and he opened up about his life to me. And as I listened to him, my heart went out to him, because in some ways I could sympathize with what he was saying. So we talked a little bit, and then I started to share with him about God's love and how it could change his life. And I had prayed that day, and I asked the Lord, God, I pray that you'll allow me the opportunity to witness to someone today. And there was my opportunity. So after sharing with him the love of the Lord and sharing some scripture, I asked him, I said, now, young man, would you like to pray that prayer right now and have the assurance that you're going to heaven? And he said, yes, I sure would. And we sat outside in that same place. We were outside. It was a little bit chilly at the side of the building. And I knelt there with him and prayed. And that young man got saved. Now, I didn't see him anymore after that. I don't know whatever happened to him. Not sure where he is today. But I've hoped and prayed that from that time on, he has kept his life in tune with the Lord. But the role model that we have for prayer is Christ. And I've preached this a lot. Jesus prayed continually. Why did Jesus pray continually? Because he wanted to know the Father's will. He wanted to stay in fellowship with God. And he knew that when he prayed, it kept him strengthened and kept him feeling joyful. How many of you Have you ever missed a day of prayer, and then at some point throughout the day you felt like your day was just coming unraveled? I used to see a little saying, that saying, a week without prayer makes 1 week. And I thought, boy, isn't that true? And there's been some times that I had gotten aggravated with the Lord because my plan or my ways weren't being seen and met like I thought they should. And I thought, well, you know what? I just won't pray then. If that's how God's going to do me. So I was a little bit, I had that mule complex going on. I thought, if the Lord's not going to answer my prayer, then I just ain't going to pray at all. So I was acting like a five-year-old having a hissy fit. And I wouldn't pray. And then I found everything was really going wrong. I found out that the Lord wasn't moving in my life. And I really started to feel disconnected. And it wasn't because God moved away. It's because I started distancing myself from God by not praying. And I found out it's so much better to be in fellowship with the Lord, because when I'm in fellowship and in communication with the Lord, then He's going to have fellowship and communion with me, and my days are going to be a lot sweeter. And when I'm going through the dark and the troubled times, He is going to be there with me, and I will feel His presence in my life. As I was driving over here this morning, I was listening to the Christian radio station, and there's a song on there, and the lady was singing the chorus, and it said, shout to the Lord, all the earth. I can't even remember the word. Anyway, it was just basically the Lord. She was talking in the song that the Lord was her refuge, her temple, her strong tower. And, you know, when we pray to the Lord as a church, and when we stay in fellowship with Him, then it causes us to have this kind of fellowship with the Lord, because there are things that will hit the church. There are times that troubles will hit a church family. And if a church family is praying together and having a strong bond, then they can stand and make it through any situation. I had the chance years ago to step into a church. They'd shut their doors and they called me and said, Brother Jim, we'd like for you to go and step into this church and try to get the fires going again. And I thought, well, I can't get the fires going. Only God could do that. But I said, okay, I'll go. And I went to that first Sunday, and there was about 5 or 6 people showed up for Sunday school. And we sat down and tried to have class. Well, I already knew that there was trouble brewing. And I thought, well, we better pray. So I prayed. I asked the Lord to take over. I asked the Lord to have His way in that Sunday school and in that church service that day. And you know what I found out? I think I was the only one who wanted anything to do with God that Sunday. Because Sunday school class didn't go very well. There was a lot of arguing and bickering about this, that, and the other. And then when it come time for church, nobody seemed very interested in what God wanted for the church. It was all about I and me and whoever else was there. The next Sunday was the same thing, and the third Sunday was the same thing. And finally, I said, Lord, I don't know about You, but I know that You're moving upon. I said, I don't know about me, Lord, but I know Your will for me is to move on. And what I saw in this church is the reason why those doors closed is because they weren't praying together. There was no harmony. There was no family connection, no fellowship. Now, there was one good thing I learned in seminary. One good thing I did learn, that as a minister of a church, it's very important that the minister relays messages to the church body about staying in fellowship with the Lord, about praising God. Because when we have that kind of fellowship, then we're going to be able to get through some of the toughest times. I can remember so many times that my grandpa in his ministry, the churches he pastored, he went through some dark and perilous times. It might have been at times with deacons or business meetings or whatever. But one thing my grandfather never did, and one thing the church never did, they never wavered or strayed away from their praying. They always stuck together. I remember him saying that there were times of hardship financially that they didn't know where money was going to come from, but they stayed together, they prayed, they lifted up the petitions before the Lord, and they said God always provided the financial needs of the church. And if a church will pray as to what direction God wants them to go, He'll take you in the right direction. One thing I can tell about Bosque Dell, and I'm not bragging on the church, I'm bragging on God here, because God is working in each and every one of your lives. But what I can brag on this church, there's a lot of love, there's a lot of prayer, there's a lot of witnessing, there's a lot of, I know there's family connect, but I mean, I'm talking spiritual family connection here, because everybody looks out for, and that's a beautiful thing. That's why a lot of churches, their doors stay open, because these are people who are serious about their commitment to God and doing things His way. Secondly, a church that preaches God's Word. Now, in praise to the Lord, you know, I've got to be able to preach the Word. Now, if I got up in this pulpit Sunday after Sunday and I preached what somebody out there suggested I should preach or what I felt like I should preach, you know what? It's going to be a lot of words that would just seem to go out of my mouth and fall and hit the floor. I never want to stand in the pulpit and preach something that I would want to speak or that someone else would want me to do. I ran into that preaching in a church. A lady came up to me and she said, this is your sermon outline, or this is your sermon for next Sunday. This is what I want you to preach. She said, you know, my husband and I kind of head this church up, so this is it. And I looked at that and I said, here you go. And she says, well, what are you doing? I said, well, ma'am, I only preach what God wants me to preach. I'll never preach something that somebody hands to me. Now I've had people come up and say, you know, the kind of sermons we'd like to hear, whatever. Well, I'll pray about it. But I have to preach what God lays on my heart. And why do I have to preach what God lays on my heart? Because number one, it's going to be a benefit for me. I have to stay in the Word, and I have to read God's Word, and I have to study it so that I can preach the Word. And why do I preach the Word? I'm not preaching it just to all of you this morning. What I preach, I'm preaching to me as well. But I'm preaching it so that we are all strengthened, that we know God's Word. And I always encourage people to know God's Word, because you know what? Sometimes if I say something and say it wrong, it's not because it was a thing done intentionally. Sometimes as I've aged, I get my wires crossed sometimes. It's just a thing. But I always want people to know God's Word. That way, if I do slip up, I expect someone to come up and say, hey, Brother Jim, you said this morning, that wasn't right. And I would appreciate that out of anybody, because it keeps things real for me. It lets me know that, hey, I need to be a little bit more paying attention as to what's going on. But if I'm preaching what God wants me to preach to the church, then we're going to grow, and we're going to be able to take the Word that we've heard, and we are going to apply it to our life. And do you know there could be a situation, there could be a challenge, there could be a trial, something that you're facing, and I've had this happen so many times that somebody would come up to me after church and say, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. And I'll say this, one Sunday morning, Corrine, after church, came up to me and she gave me the biggest hug. And she said, "Brother Jim, I want to thank you for what you preached this morning," because she said, "I needed that." And I, well, of course, I always tell people, thank the Lord, because it ain't nothing to me. I don't ever want to take credit for what God speaks to somebody. All the praise and the honor and the glory goes to Him, because He is the one that I want to speak through me, through His Holy Spirit. And that's why I pray what I do every Sunday. Lord, let the message come straight from You through Your Holy Spirit. Because you're going to get a lot more out of it when God speaks. You get a lot more out of it that way than you would get out of what I would speak. I talked, a couple of Sundays back about Jesus' ministry. When Jesus would preach the Word, you can always read in the Bible that when Jesus was going somewhere to minister the Word to the people, that people came in throngs. There were groups of people. When Jesus taught at Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house, you remember that's when the paralytic was healed, when they cut the roof back and they lowered him down? There were so many people gathered to hear Jesus speak that there was no room for these men to get their friend in, so that's why they had to cut the hole in the roof to kind of drop him down, tied up on his bed, to get to Jesus. But Jesus had a way of speaking that got people's attention. So if I was to preach from my own power, my own thoughts, and my own words, you'd be sitting there going, "Oh my word, is he ever going to get done? I ain't getting nothing out of this." I've heard some preachers like that. And there's been times, and I know God's forgiven me, there's been times that I let things get in the way and I didn't get a sermon ready. I didn't pray, but I would just get up there and start preaching what I thought sounded good and fell flat on my face. And I did not see the Spirit of the Lord moving in the church service that morning. So when I have a sermon come up to me, I know that when it's from the Lord, I know that that word is going to go forth. I know a seed will be planted. And I know that in some way, it's going to impact our lives greatly. But the more that God's word is preached, you'll see a church grow. We all, it's just like taking a daily vitamin. If you didn't take a daily vitamin, you wouldn't get your strength. You wouldn't have that energy and drive, would you? I got to take my vitamins every day for me to have physical strength. But in order for me to have spiritual strength, I have to get into that Word. I was talking to Gene and Joy this morning, and Gene was talking about, he says, when he goes down the bank to the mailbox, he said, it's fine going down, but when he turns around and has to go back up the bank, is when it becomes a challenge. And I said, amen, brother. When Janine and I go for a walk, we go out the driveway, we turn left on our country road, and there's a little hill goes up and over. And you'd think you was climbing Mount Everest. By the way, I act. Here's Janine's over here just going like that, and I'm going, "Woof, man." You know, and she says, "Come on, old man, get going." But that's physical strength. Spiritual strength comes from this Word. Without this Word, you and I wouldn't have wisdom. Without this Word, you and I wouldn't be able to go through the things we go through every day and still stand strong. I remember watching, what's that actor? Jimmy Stewart. I'd watch some of these Jimmy Stewart movies and some of these war movies he was in, or cowboy, whatever, and they was always the good guys, and the good guys always won because they always stuck together. They always done the right thing. And I thought, you know, if we as a church, If we get into God's Word, and if we stick together as God's people, guess what? We're always going to have victory. A situation may look grim and barren at times, but if we stick together and seek the Lord, then He's going to let everything unfold before us. You know, there's been times in my life that, you know, Janine and I have gone through some pretty deep stuff. And only thing we could do is we could turn to the Word of the Lord. One thing that's great about preaching God's Word is what's preached, it will stick with you. The Word of the Lord will never depart from you. I mean, that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And studying it means reading the same thing over and over, memorizing it, and quoting it. I used to put little index cards up around the house with Bible scripture, or put them in the car or my truck. Put Bibles, and I haven't done that in a long time. I need to get back into practice. But I would post these things and see the scripture, and I would quote it. And then it seemed like whenever we was going through a hard time, or we had a trial or something we've been praying about, Janine and I would always come back to God's Word. And when we started praying, we quoted God's Word in prayer. And we said, Father, we know Your promises are true. And Father, this is what Your Word says. And we stand upon Your Word in faith. So from preaching God's Word, we'll know how to stand. We'll know how to witness. We'll know how to function as a church. And then thirdly, a church praises together. The songs we had this morning, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. When we sing those praise songs, I guess it's kind of a thing in my mind that I think a lot of churches right now, some of them think, well, we should be in the same praise mode. And what I mean is by you ought to be throwing your hands up, running around, shouting. Well, you know what? Everybody's made different. I want you to know that God made you who you are, and every child of God worships the Lord in his or her own way. And when you're doing that, it's between you and God. I mean, I can't tell Milton how he ought to worship. And I've listened to some preachers and music people up in churches who would tell the congregation, now we need to get on the same page. This is how you ought to be praising the Lord. This is how you ought to be singing. This is the kind of music we ought to be singing too. Well, you know what? That I don't agree with. Everybody should praise the Lord as God moves upon their heart. There are some people in church that when they praise, they do lift their hands and they praise God. There are some people that close their eyes and sing. There are some people who get happy. And there are just whatever ways. There are some people who remain quiet during that praise time. And whatever ways that you are praising God, it's a beautiful thing. And you should never let anybody near you, behind you, disrupt that. When you are praising God in church service, you are exalting and lifting up our God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And you're thanking Him for what He's given you in life, for what He's done for you, and thanking Him that you have the ability to be here. I've said it time and time again. I would rather sing the hymns out of this book. I've been singing these hymns since I could know the words and start singing out of one. I would rather sing out of a hymnal any day, because I get, for me, my joy comes from singing those good old songs, because those lyrics are scripture inspired. If you ever look inside of one of these books, under each title, there is scripture. And there's part of the scripture under that word. And so if it's come from God's Word, then you know what? I want to sing it. I've been in some churches where they've had a praise band, and boy, they are just so loud. They've got guitars and drums and lights and smoke and all that stuff. And to me, it's just a show. I mean, I have. I've been in those big churches. And I have not felt the same doing praise like that, where it is so loud and so deafening, I just felt like I couldn't get in tune with the Lord. But when we sit here and we sing to the Lord, and Effie's playing the piano, there's just a joy starts coming and radiates out of me, and a smile comes up on my face. But when we praise the Lord, we're to make a joyful noise. Now, I make a joyful noise to the Lord. It may not sound pretty to a lot of other people's ears, but I'm not here to entertain nobody else. When I sing, I'm singing to the glory of God. And I know when it hits His ears, it's the most beautiful thing He's ever heard coming out of me. Now, I've told people in churches, I say, when I sing, it sounds like an old hound dog's been shot in the rear end with some buckshot. It's kind of what it sounds like sometimes. But what I'm doing, I may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'll have one of the most glorious voices ever. Also praising the Lord, we sing, we hear the preaching, we pray, but we have to do it with a glad heart. How many of you know that we've got to do everything joyfully to the Lord? You got to have a glad heart. I've said this, when you get up of a morning, you decide which bus you're going to ride on. You either going to get on the happy bus or you going to get on the sad bus. Well, I wouldn't want to be on a sad bus, you know, and be around a bunch of other people who are going to be on the sad bus too. That's just miserable for me. I used to ride that bus a long time ago when I was young. I hated it. Finally, I said, hey, driver, stop, let me off, man. I want on the happy bus. I like to surround myself with people who have the same purpose, and that's to praise the Lord and be happy in this life. I'm not in this life to be rich. I'm not in this life for glory and fame. I'm not in this life to see how big of a house I can have or what finest car I can drive. I am in this life to sing praise and honor and glory to the Lord and live for Him. And I'm going to do it gladly. Because when I do it gladly, I hope that somebody else will see what I'm doing and not copy me, but they'll say, hey, that guy's got the right idea. Or, hey, that sister's got the right idea in what she's doing. We need to praise God because of who He is. He's our God. He is God Almighty. He has created for you a home in heaven. He has given you a place that you'll be with Him for all of eternity. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. You'll never see a funeral home. You'll never see a hospital or a care clinic up in heaven. And if God has done all of that for us, then we should be glorifying Him. He's our shepherd. He cares for us. He is good, He is merciful, and He is truthful. I don't know about you, but I know God shows me a lot of mercy every day. I've often said, I bet the Lord sometimes wishes He could just smack me upside the head and go, boy, I wish that boy would get it straight. But I'm just a human being. But my purpose in this life is to strive to please the Lord. So, when we come to church on Sunday, when you get up of a morning and it's Monday through Saturday, you know what you ought to be doing? Praising the Lord. You ought to be thinking of Him constantly. You ought to be living for Him constantly. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. When you're praising God, it puts you in the most peaceful spot in the most turbulent of times. And I want you to know this. Last week, when my mom passed away, I thought I felt everything there is to feel that could bring you down. When I lost my mama, that hit home. And that hit hard. And there was a few days there I had a hard time praising the Lord, truthfully, because I lost this lady that I love so dearly. Well, I didn't lose her. She's gone to heaven. But she's not here now. And then as the days went by, I thought, hey, I got to get back serious here. And I started praising the Lord, started spending that time with Him. And I started thinking about my mom, and I started thinking about her, how happy she is in heaven. And I thought, I wouldn't want her to come back here for nothing, for what she's experiencing right now. So in that moment, in that situation, praising God turned my heart back around and gave me a glad place. You know, and I want to share this with you, then I'm going to close. That hydrangea I got last Sunday from y'all has just meant so much to me. It really has. When we go out, so we've gone outside every night. We've watered the flowers. That thing is planted on the north side of the house there. It hasn't opened up. It's getting more blooms on it, but they haven't all opened up yet. I don't even know what color it is. But when I look at that hydrangea, you know what I see? I see the love of a church family. Coming through that height, it brings back good stuff to me. It makes me happy to see that thing sitting out there in our flowers. It's right in between our hostas and our azaleas, and it's going to be the most beautiful thing. So see, those things like that are a reminder to me of what God can do.